Welcome to the April 2024 meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council. Roll call.
Kurt Alstead.
Here.
Dan Bush.
Here.
Tim Daugherty.
Here.
Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Richko.
Here.
Michael Savatich. Dan Van Abs.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Voden.
Here.
The Open Public Meetings Act.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and method of participation in this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website. This meeting is being conducted at the Highlands Council office located at 100 North Road, Chester, New Jersey. Participants may provide comments during the meeting or by emailing them to the Highlands Council prior to or following the meeting up to close of business on Friday, April 19th, 2024.
Thank you, Annette. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chair's report. I don't have a report today, so we'll move on to the Executive Director's report. Ben?
Okay, thank you, Corey.
Good afternoon, everybody.
So, should be a pretty straightforward meeting today. Let me just go over some of the things that you're going to see and what we've been working on. The first thing that we're going to address today is the Lopatcong Center Amendment. If you recall, last month there was originally a proposal for a redevelopment area that was jointly filed by both municipalities that was withdrawn when Pahatcong decided that they no longer wanted to proceed with the application. What we really couldn't get into last month was why it happened that way. When the original proposal was made by those two towns to address the area around the old Phillipsburg Mall, they originally proposed to make the entire area a center. After our staff reviewed that application, we came to the conclusion that the portion of the application that involved the old Phillipsburg Mall site and the farmland that was proposed to have a warehouse built on it didn't meet our standards of what we consider to be good center-based planning. And we gave them the opportunity and the option to try to proceed using the Highlands redevelopment area, which it qualified for because the impervious coverage that existed on the two remaining lots exceeded 70%, so they qualified for that. That application has gone by the boards now with Pahatcong withdrawing, and it left only the remaining portion of the entire area that you're going to see today as part of the center-based approvals that they're going to be asking for. The staff found that portion of the application did indeed meet the criteria for a center, and basically consists of 100% affordable housing development that just gets tagged on to the existing center site. What's going to happen with the withdrawn portion of the application is still up to those two towns. But that's how we got where we are today, and you'll see a presentation from staff that explains exactly what their evaluation of the remaining portion of the site is and why they're recommending approval of that. The second thing that's going to be on, and this is the hot topic of the moment, we've been talking about this for a while, revolves around the recent legislation for affordable housing. As we mentioned last time, this is a significant change in the way that the state is approaching the affordable housing obligations of the municipalities in the state. But also significant is that it calls out the Highlands Regional Master Plan, the Highlands Act, the build-outs, the land use capability zones, the things that we use to manage the resources of the region were actually recognized in the law. It's good because that's what we wanted to have happen all along, but it also put an obligation on us as an agency to have to really put up with this. And what that means is that we have to do a number of things, the first of which is to amend the regional master plan to align it with because the regional master plan as it currently exists contains over 80 references to affordable housing within it. We need to amend those portions of the regional master plan to reflect what the law now says. So that's the first step, and so we prepared a draft of affordable housing regional master plan update, which has been presented to both the Affordable Housing Committee and to the Regional Master Plan Committee, and they're gonna be presented here to you today to release them for public comment. And as you know, the public comment process that we have is fairly robust. It involves a 60-day written comment period and 6 public hearings. And just for your information, we tentatively scheduled, anticipating that you would want to release it, that we've temporarily scheduled public hearings for May 8th at the Warren County Branch Library in Independence, May 13th at the New Jersey DEP. That's one of the requirements, is that one of our public hearings be held in Trenton. May 13th as well at the Town of Clinton Municipal Building at 5:00 in the afternoon. A Zoom meeting that will be available to any members of the public who want to log on, and we will have that meeting virtually on May 17th. May 21st, a meeting at the West Milford Public Library, and finally June 3rd, a meeting here, a hearing here at the Highlands Council offices. And again, written comments will be accepted right up until, if all goes well, written comments will be accepted through June 24th. It all depends on the day when we actually get the minutes approved and the actual notice out to the public. But our goal is to align the RMP with the new law. We've already provided a list of conforming towns to DCA, which the new legislation required. We've met with the governor's office and with DCA to go over what the proposed amendment looks like and to take their input as to any changes that need to be made. They've recommended a few minor changes for clarification, which are reflected in the document that has been presented to you here today. What we anticipate following on is that we will have to provide guidance to the municipalities of the Highlands so that they know how to prepare their regional, how to prepare their affordable housing plans, how to conduct their build-out analyses, and we're going to provide a grant program to the municipalities to pay for those new plans that have to be done. We don't want to leave any of our 88 municipalities out in the cold to fend for themselves in the face of this new law. We want to give them proper guidance, give them proper support, and make sure that that the plans that they come up with both comply with the new law, but are also consistent with the resource protection mandates of the Highlands Act and the Regional Master Plan. Because of the way that the law was written, they've put us under a very tight scheduling regime. We need to have these documents out by September, and because of the nature of our public hearing process, we've pushed to get this out now so that we can meet those deadlines that are there. And I'd like just to point out that, you know, any of our municipalities who are paying attention to this, this is not a means of avoiding your obligations or a dodge of your affordable housing obligations, but it is a way to ensure that the affordable housing obligations for each municipality is appropriately sized, that the locations that they select for their affordable housing projects are appropriately located, and that they use the appropriate means of meeting that. And by that I mean whether you choose the many options that are available to a town to meet their affordable housing obligation. For us, because of the limited growth capacity of the region, the use of inclusionary development sites is really only appropriate in limited locations. For the most part, we have to look to 100% affordable developments, look for buy downs, for conversions of existing buildings, for doing all the creative things that will get them the unit counts, but do that in a manner that's not going to consume a lot of land, not put pressure on the existing infrastructure, not go in places where infrastructure doesn't exist, and finally, and most importantly, not compromise the resources of the region. So that's coming up. So we have contracts for the open space plan and the branding and marketing project that are out to attorneys for review. They should be back to us. Gabrielle's taken a look at it and sent them out to them. We're waiting for their responses. They should be back by next month, and we anticipate work on both of those projects to commence. You've got 2 RMP amendments on today for adoption, the warehouse guidance and the land use capability zone amendments. They completed the 60-day comment period. The 6 public hearings were held. There were minor non-substantive changes that were made to those amendments based upon the public comments that we received, mostly in the form of clarifications. There's a slate of grants on today for your consideration, a number of stormwater grants in the second phase of the Vernon Township Lake Management work for your consideration. That highlights the fact that stormwater and affordable housing will likely account for the bulk of our grant budget in the next fiscal year. Towards that, we anticipate a good deal of our money going towards municipalities doing work on those two subjects. And we've also taken a hard look at some of the grants that we've made in the past and money that we've assigned to municipalities dating back as far as 2008 that hasn't been used yet. And we've taken up the process of closing out those grants, recouping that money, and hopefully having it available to supplement the annual allocation that we have of $2.1 million to meet the anticipated demand that's going to be there. We're going to meet with the DEP tomorrow on the state water supply plan. We just want to ensure that we're adequately accounting for the water availability and capacity calculations, that they're consistent with the way that we look at things. And we want to make sure that it states clearly that the role of the Highlands in protecting water resources into the future is reflected appropriately in the plan, because I think the plan's success largely relies on us doing our jobs here. We met last week with DEP on our ongoing project to assist municipalities in the region with their failing septic systems, and those as to towns that have no access to a sewer service area or sewer plant. We're working on both the technical and the fiscal issues that these towns are facing. We've reached out to Bloomsbury and Califon to gauge their willingness to participate in this effort. We did hear back from Bloomsbury that they would like to, and we're going to likely move forward to do an assessment and feasibility study to find out if there are any potential solutions for them. I'd like to point out that this is the 20th anniversary of the Highlands Act. August 10th, 2004 was when the act was signed into existence. We're currently planning on hosting a summit at the Frelinghuysen Arboretum on September 6th. And we're also working with Kane University for a second follow-up event at the Kane Skylands campus, where we would put together a scientific symposium on the issues that are facing the region that we faced for the last 20 years and we're likely to face going off into the future. Harding and Mountain Lakes continue with the conformance process. We've received a number of additional inquiries, primarily due to the affordable housing, affordable housing law, because it does make a distinction between conforming Highlands municipalities and non-conforming Highlands municipalities, and that seems to have garnered the attention of some of our towns that have not worked with us in the past, and see if they're going to come in. But again, whenever they contact us, we have to remind them this is not a dodge of their existing obligations, but merely the way to make sure that their obligations are appropriately assigned. On a personnel matter, we have decided to promote our Principal Planner 1, Allie Bittner, to the Principal Planner 2 position. That's been open for a while, and after conducting a series of interviews, we've decided that Allie was the best candidate for that, which is great, but it also leaves Allie's position now open. And so we recently posted that position, and if you know any good planners who would like to come work for us, please pass that on to them. But the time period for response to that closes on May 15th. In the past month, we've decided to terminate the contract with Integra on the Municipal Average Value Project. We did this in conjunction with the SADC and the Bank Board Subcommittee that was assigned to this. Basically, we were going through this work with Integra. We had a lot of difficulty in getting deliverables from them, but also became quite apparent that we were really going down a dead-end road with this project. And compounding that was a recent law that was passed that gave the SADC the ability to do alternate valuations of farmland that included valuation of resource values on the farms that would go beyond merely the development value, allow them to pay additional monies to farm owners who were looking to preserve their land, and then rendered the Municipal Average Value Project moot, because there is another way to do this that would recognize real value for the farm owners, and we're going to work with the SADC on the funding formula they come up with. We continue to advocate for additional funding for our programs. We've been asking for the last year and a half for 4 additional positions. We need an ag specialist, an agricultural specialist here at the Highlands to work on agricultural retention and promotion of the agricultural industry in the region. We need a stormwater engineer to work with our towns on the MS4 requirements, as well as to review the technical project documents that come in before us, to work on restoration, and a climate scientist. Work continues on the Highlands website. We should see something soon. If you were paying attention, we also released our annual report and our monthly report for March since between last meeting and today. We also had meetings of the Affordable Housing, Budget and Finance, Agricultural RMP committees, and the Plan Conformance Committee. And I attended the New Jersey Agricultural Climate Summit at Duke Farms last week. So that was our month since last we met. So
not much going on here.
We're busy.
Allie, congratulations.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thank you.
Do any of council members have any questions or comments for our executive director for his report? No questions? Nothing? Okay, very good. We move on to approval of the Highlands Council minutes of March 21st, 2024. Who would like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Moved by Council Member Alstead. We need a second.
I'll second it.
Second by Council Member Bush. Any discussion? Hearing none, please poll.
Council Member Alstead.
Yes.
Council Member Bush.
Yep.
Council Member Doherty.
Yes.
Council Member Dressler.
Yes.
Council Member Francis.
Yes.
Council Member James.
Abstain.
Council Member Van Apps.
Yes.
Council Member Vizioli.
Yes.
Council Member Voden.
Oh, yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
Okay. We have a resolution for the Budget and Finance Committee, so I'll turn it over to the chair of that committee, Jim Vizioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Budget and Finance Committee met on April 2nd via Zoom, and I know we have a staff presentation coming up, but we reviewed 3 locations, Franklin Township, Harmony, and Oxford, and I'm sure the staff in our presentation will get into it a lot more detail than I would. So, turn it over to staff.
Sure. Well, I'll take it from here, General.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. The grants that we're asking you to approve today are there's 3 stormwater management grants that have been prepared by municipalities, Franklin Township, Harmony Township, and Oxford, all in Warren County. These stormwater grants are crafted according to the draft scopes of work that we provided to them. Our staff reviewed them, they comply. These are, right, you've seen a number of these. These go for the new MS4 permitting requirements that every one of our 88 municipalities is facing. These are really probably the most preliminary part of the work, but they support both the MS4 permit compliance and the regional master plan conformance. So these are grants that are going for these municipalities to do our work on our behalf. The larger grant that you're going to be asked to consider is for Vernon Township. We had previously given Vernon a lake management grant to assess the lake communities within their township. They completed the first half of the lake assessments that they were doing, covered 13 of their lakes. Phase 2 covers an additional 11 lakes within the community, and that total is $202,000.
Any questions, comments from the council? Seeing none, this is a voting matter with public participation, public comment. Would anyone from the audience like to address this resolution only?
Do you want a motion?
Oh, we should have a motion. That's correct.
Then I'll
move it. Moved by Council Member Van Apps.
I'll second it, Mr. Chairman.
And seconded by Council Member Vizioli. They always are watching me, which is good. So would anyone from the audience like to address the council on this resolution only? Seeing none, please poll.
Council Member Alstead.
Yes.
Council Member Bush.
Yes.
Council Member Doherty.
Yes.
Council Member Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abt?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Voden?
Yes.
Chairman Richka?
Yes.
Resolution passes.
All right, we have the Plan Conformance Committee report now. This is one resolution. I'm going to turn it over to Councilmember Dressler, who's the chairperson of this committee.
All right, we held a committee meeting a couple of weeks ago with regard to the issue that the executive director talked about. Ben, do we have somebody from the staff who wants to explain the situation?
We do. James is going to make a presentation here on this.
So this is for the Lo-Pak-Hong and Po-Pak-Hong Highlands Center Amendment. Originally, back in 2012, the Highlands Council approved centers for both Lo-Pak-Hong and Po-Pak-Hong, and also Phillipsburg. They submitted a revised and updated center application for Block 38, Lot 1 in Po-Hak-Hong for a 96-unit of 100% affordable housing development, and for another area that, as Ben stated earlier, included not only the historic district along Lock Street in Lo-Pak-Hong, but also a property, two properties that were intended for future warehouse development. Subsequent to that, we know from Ben that Po-Hak-Hong withdrew the application part that referenced the warehouse development. So now we have an application that is only for these two areas as shown on the screen, which are basically an area along historic Lock Street, which is where the Morris Canal used to run, that will be entirely placed into Highlands Environmental Resource Zones due to it being adjacent to the Lo-Pak-Hong Creek, which is a C1 waterway. And also that area to the south, which is Block 38, Lot 1 in Po-Hak-Hong, this is getting confusing, for 96 units of affordable housing that's in their fair share plan. The area of Block 38, Lot 1 in Po-Hak-Hong also has a C1 stream crossing a corner of it. However, the entire 300-foot buffer of that C1 stream will be placed into a Highlands Environmental Resource Zone and also be protected. So this went out for a 30-day public comment period. We received three public comments, and the primary concerns were related to the former warehouse proposal. It's no longer included, and part of the confusion with the public process, given how the application was amended. No changes were made to the report of the recommendation. The recommendation from staff is to approve the center amendment with conditions, the conditions being the continuation of the center planning, confirming that the wastewater capacity is available for the affordable housing development, and the designations of those Highlands Environmental Resource Zones I previously mentioned. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer it. That's
any,
it. Rip.
Any comments, any questions? Oh, wait, what? We need a motion on this on this resolution. Who would like to make the motion?
I'll make the motion.
By Councilmember Dressler, need a second?
I'll second.
Second by Councilmember James. All right, any discussion from the council?
I have a question. So relative to those two lots that were withdrawn, that there was proposed warehouse development project, is there any means by which that could be re-advanced and can comply with our standard? And just briefly, what does that look like?
It's a good question. So the answer to that is yeah. The simple answer is yes. If they wanted to proceed with a center designation, they would have to demonstrate that they were doing center-based planning, right? We have definitions of what the characteristics of a center are within the regional master plan, and they should have to demonstrate that they've done appropriate center planning, done the public outreach, have a vision for creating a place, for creating walkable communities, things of that nature. What it appeared to be was that they were originally using the center designation as a means of achieving some of the ends that come along with it, such as approval for wastewater or water service, without doing the appropriate center planning, which is why we asked them to remove it. So that's one way that they could do it, by coming in with an amended proposal for this that had all those elements that we consider appropriate for a center. The other thing that they still can do is reapply for the Highlands redevelopment area designation, because they do have 70% existing impervious coverage on the two lots, but it would have to come from both municipalities joining.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? All right, Seeing none, this is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone like to address the council on this resolution only? All right, seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bush.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Foden.
Oh, yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
But we have three resolutions now for the Regional Master Plan Amendment Committee, and I will turn it over to Councilmember Alstead, who's the chairman of that committee.
Yes, the committee met this past Monday and considered the, and I'll take each of them individually, but we considered each of the amendments that we had brought before the entire council and which the council approved to go out for public hearings. And that includes the master plan amendment for the warehousing standards, as well as the amendment for the land use capability zone map. So we're going to need to consider these each individually. The committee did vote in the affirmative to recommend to the entire council their advancement as amendments to the regional master plan. And I don't know if staff has a little overview, and I'm getting a nod yes, so in case you have any questions, here are the answers.
So we're addressing the warehouse resolution.
Yeah, warehouse first.
Yes, I'm gonna quickly address the warehousing policy standards. These policy standards are largely the same as the guidelines that came before the council almost a year ago. And they generally address where warehouses should go, where warehouses shouldn't go, obviously avoid the preservation area, avoid the conservation zone, protection zone. They may be appropriate in approved centers, redevelopment areas, as in the case of Pohatcong and Wapakong, and contain a geographic proximity to the transportation network, among other items. Some important considerations that go along with the warehousing standards include overall impervious coverage, building standards, energy, air, heat, noise, lighting impacts, utility capacity, etc., along with a decommissioning plan if the warehouse use was ever discontinued. We held the 60-day public comment period, as along with the six required public hearings, five throughout the region and one in Trenton. Primarily concerns were about the impacts of warehousing in the region, concerns regarding traffic and the environmental impact of warehouses. There was a concern about the lack of authority that the Highlands Council has in non-conforming planning area municipalities. And then an interagency comment from the DEP regarding the Highlands Preservation Area approval process for Highlands Redevelopment Area designation. That comment did result in one minor amendment to the proposal, which includes adding that the HPAA is required in the preservation area under the redevelopment scenario. That's it for me.
All right. So we need a motion and a second on this resolution.
I'll make a motion that we approve
right,
this
that's
resolution.
Moved by Councilmember Alstead. We need a second.
I'll second it.
Second by Council.
Next one.
Okay. Second by Councilmember James.
True bipartisan.
All right, this, any comments or questions from the council?
Just one, Mr. Chairman. Can we go back to that first slide, if you would, please? Okay. The last one on the left, where warehouses should not go, the last on the left-hand
yes.
column.
Yes. Avoid overburdened communities.
Avoid overburdened communities. Can you expand on that just a little, please?
Sure, those are generally communities that already contain uses that either cause noise or air pollution, environmental pollution, and those communities are generally considered to already have those uses present and to avoid adding to that.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on this resolution? Seeing none, this is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone like to address the council on this resolution only? Hank?
My name's Hank Klump. I'm a landowner in Tewksbury. And I don't really understand how the Highlands Council can automatically give an opinion on warehousing. Question is, during the epidemic that we had here for 2 years, you know, where do we come up with, we can determine where the housing should be effective for the rest of the commodities that are coming to this warehouse and to be distributed either in our state or this Brother Street? Where do we get the authority to even take the task of looking into how and where warehousing should be? As to me, warehousing is a building, large, covers a lot of ground. They're required to put the water back into the ground. Water is water. I don't understand, but the main reason is, how can the Highlands Council be an expert on telling or describing where warehousing's got to go? I mean, are we that far along from water to warehousing? Question for anybody. Maybe Corey.
Thank you, Hank. Thanks. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution only? Right. Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Bush.
Yep.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abst.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Chairman Richka.
Yes. Let's move on to the second resolution.
I believe that James and company has a little bit of a presentation.
Yes.
Don't want to preempt.
So this is the amendment on the Land Use Capability Zone map. The Land Use Capability Zone map is the guiding policy map for the region. It identifies three zones, three primary zones: the protection zone, the existing community zone, and the conservation zone, and four subzones. And it helps to guide the overall policies for the RMP, including where sewers should go, where sewers shouldn't go, and basically where development can and can't occur. And that's a lot of what the warehousing guidelines built off of. It was originally adopted in 2008 along with the regional master plan, and has been not been updated since then. Because of the because of the affordable housing legislation, we thought it was important to make sure the Land Use Capability Zone map was up to date. DEP recently released the 2020 land use land cover data, which is a fundamental component of the Land Use Capability Zone. We tried to keep the original methodology as close, if not exactly, as possible to the original. So it's simply an update of the data into the model, which then calculates the Land Use Capability Zones. The two changes we did make was the addition of 500-year floodplain data from FEMA to help to address climate change issues, and the removal of public water existing areas served, because we could not get reliable data. And there's so many other data layers in that indicator that the removal of it had no impact. So this will provide the basis for all future RMP amendments and will be critical for the affordable housing analyses towns have to do in the future. So this is the Land Use Capability Zone. At this scale, you can't really identify changes, but there were some changes. A lot of it was based on corrections to the process. Initially, when the process was done back in 2008, obviously technology was substantially different, and it was a step-by-step process where somebody had to take data from one step and transfer it to another. Now everything is done in one giant step by coding the whole process. So it's easier to identify errors, correct those errors, and rerun the process instead of having to go back through 50 steps. So a lot of the changes we saw were from those error corrections. So again, this went out for a 60-day public comment period and the 6 public hearings. We received 8 comments. One comment requested some site-specific changes. Those site-specific changes are addressed through other methods already in the regional master plan. They're addressed through RMP updates, which are factual changes done at a staff level. For example, if a property has been developed since the underlying data was given to us, that would be an RMP update. The other way to do a site-specific change is a map adjustment, and we just saw one of those recently for the Glen Laura site in Chester, where that's a policy-based change, and the council sees that and then approves it based on the policies. For example, the need for affordable housing. One comment questioned the expansion of the existing community zone. The existing community zone is largely based on development, development and sewer service area. So naturally, over time, the existing community zone is going to expand because development is occurring, even at a reduced pace. One comment asked for clarification on the updated utility capacity technical report. There was some confusion as if we had updated the entire report or just the data layer, and we did add clarification to the document to indicate we just updated the data layer, not the entire technical report. One comment was opposed to updating the updates to preserved woodlands. And 5 commenters expressed concern about the vernal pool buffer change from 1,000 feet to 300 meters, which is only a 16-foot change and was basically done to match the source data, which comes from DEP, which is in meters. So instead of us having 1,000 feet, where DEP, who is the creator of the data, is 300 meters, we amend the RMP to match that. And with that.
Thank you very much. And again, the committee did vote to recommend to the full council the approval of this amendment.
We need a motion and a second on this resolution.
I'll make a motion to
move by Council Member Alstead.
I'll second it.
Second by Council Member Bush. All right, any other comments, questions?
Just one comment. I'd like to congratulate the staff on making this a more automated process, because I am painfully aware of how the first process went.
And that goes to our GIS department, Jocelyn and Owen over there. They're the ones. Owen's scripted the whole thing. And he's glad, they're glad they're done.
Okay. No further comments or questions. This is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone like to address the council on this resolution only? Julia.
Julia Summers, Executive Director, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. One of the hats I wear, I am a State Planning Commissioner. And as many of you may be aware, the state plan is being updated. And the state plan, the Office of Planning Advocacy is working closely with the Highlands Council and the Highlands Council's leadership on that as the state plan is updated. So I just wanted to compliment you because this is very timely. And it will feed very nicely into the work that's happening for the whole state with the state plan.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bush.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Ams.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Chair Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
I'll move on to the third resolution for the Regional Master Plan Amendment Committee.
Yes. So, in addition to the recommendation for the two amendments to be included in the Regional Master Plan, we have yet another proposal from the staff. And as the executive director mentioned, this is regarding the affordable housing and the need to comply with the new legislation that was approved in Trenton. And I believe we might have a small introduction into this as well. And just to clarify, this will be for a release for public hearing, not for inclusion in the master plan right now.
Yes, thank you. So in March, the legislation, the new affordable housing legislation was passed. As Ben said, it contains many references to the Highlands and directs Highlands conforming municipalities to do certain things. The timelines for all of these things are very, very tight. The amendment itself outlines specific changes to the regional master plan to address changes in the legislation. For example, the RMP contained references to 10% affordable housing developments, where now the new standard is 20%. It also adds waivers for 100% affordable housing development. It adds a waiver for 100% affordable housing development in the preservation area that matches the waiver that's in the DEP Highlands rules. It adds a waiver for 100% affordable housing development in the planning area in certain conditions where the Highlands Council approves it. It confirms that the 20% set-aside requirement that is now mandatory in the region covers the entire region and applies to both conforming and non-conforming towns and even exempt development, and that's because that comes from the Fair Housing Act, not the Highlands Act. And then it goes through the existing standards of the regional master plan and how those are applied to vacant land analysis and land adjustment availabilities that are outlined in the new legislation. It's important to note that this amendment is just one of three documents. This amendment is being brought through now because the process takes so long, it won't be in effect until September of this year. So during the time in between, we're going to develop two additional documents, one being the Affordable Housing Locational Guidelines, which will be guidance on the best practices of where to construct affordable housing. It'll be guidance on how to identify and redevelop properties for affordable housing. And then there'll be another document, which will be the Highlands Municipal Build-Out Instructions and the grant program. And the Highlands Municipal Build-Out is, again, a requirement of the new legislation, so we want to outline and update those build-outs. This will go out for 60-day public comment with 6 public hearings, and we should be back to you in July to review the public comments and proceed.
Thank you very much.
Okay, James, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great presentation. So we need a motion and a second on this resolution.
Also the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Wait, that's up over there. Okay, moved by Councilmember Vizioli.
I'll second that.
Second by Councilmember Van Abs.
No, Francis.
Francis.
I was going to.
Thank you. All right, and now you're fighting over it. Okay, any council comments, questions on this resolution? Councilmember Van Abs.
So in addition to being on the council, I'm also a licensed planner. And the lack of clear connection between the Highlands Act and the Fair Housing Act has been a perennial frustration for the program for many people outside of the Highlands Council. The fact that the legislature has now proactively included these provisions and made clear the connection. I think one thing is we should laud the legislators who did this, because it's shifting the ground. It is really changing how we're going to be able to address this with municipalities in the region, and that is profound. That's incredibly important to us and to the regional master plan. So I hope that word either one way or another gets back to the legislators, letting them know that we thank them for doing this. It is also going to be an incredibly complicated process in the coming year and a half, which is the unfortunate part of the act, is that everybody's going to be going through it simultaneously, which is going to drive everybody crazy. So I thank the staff for sticking around for the next year and a half at least.
Any other comments? I'll tell you, if I was a mayor or a town administrator of any town in the Highlands, I would be so happy to see that the Highlands Council has gotten involved in this. This has been necessary for so long. 15% of the land in New Jersey, which is the Highlands, supplies 70% of the water, or part or all the water for the residents, and to think of being forced to develop in areas that should be preserved for the water, because it goes to non-affordable and affordable housing. So it just doesn't make any sense that it would be kind of shoved down the throat of these municipalities. But as our administrator has said, the executive director has said, that it's not that they're going to get out of their obligation. It's just a matter of where the housing would be placed. So I think it's a great thing that the staff has worked on this and has been proactive, and thank you very much for that. All right, so no other comments. This is
we'll make a quick one for you. Being a mayor,
there you go.
We are thankful. At the same time, the time frame is problematic. The stormwater and this coupled together, municipal budgets, it becomes very difficult for small towns to make it happen in this time frame. However, it's the right step in the right direction. And as always, we'll make it happen. But eyes wide open for all the small towns out there in the Highlands, I recognize, and I think this committee should as well, that it's very difficult and problematic in that short of a time frame.
Good point. Okay, no other comments? This is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone like to address the council on this resolution only? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bush.
Yep.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Amps.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
I'm paying attention, yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
Okay, we have old and new business. Do any council members have any old and new business they'd like to share with the council? Seeing none, we will move on to public comments. Would anyone like to address the council at this time? Please remember that you have a 3-minute limit. Who would like to address the council? Hank. Hank, we missed you in the last couple of months. I know that you were down in Florida, right?
Yes. Yeah. Spending all my money. I got a question for you, and it's to pertain to North Jersey District Water that was put up to when this whole thing started. There was a whole, and a task force was formed after that. So is there a possible way that I could, or somebody, the North Jersey District Water comprised? It was how this thing actually got started. It was when McGreevy was in the governor, and they brought up by 2050, if we didn't do this Water Highlands Act, it would cost us $30 billion a year for the transfer of the water. Now, I know that there was some kind of a slideshow or something some years ago. I don't know, maybe Dan Abbs could fill us in. I don't know. I know he was around at that time. But the other thing that I was thinking, you know, we're gone grant crazy here. And I was wondering if as far as grants go, now this is a hell of an idea, but you know, the rent or the lease of our lands for the last 20 years would be a start to help some of the landowners stay. Question, can we get grants? I mean, we grant everything. I mean, we've sacrificed the land for 20 years. So you people have made all the rules and regulations and everything for us. And I'm amazed, and I still am amazed, have all of a sudden we're in the warehouse business, we're in the affordable housing business, and we haven't taken care of the landowners in the Highlands. Question, I'll stop there, your clock is almost up. Thanks again.
Thank you, Henry.
And it was good, I missed you, so let's put it down.
Anybody else like to address the council at this time? Yes.
Richard Kelski, statement of opinion. During the public comments portion of your March meeting, I brought to your attention issues regarding your recent bylaw amendments establishing your executive director's bid and other authority levels. There's nothing on tonight's agenda or even in the minutes of the Budget and Finance Committee meeting of April 2nd considering the issues which I raised. But that is not why I'm here tonight. As I was coming up to the podium at your March meeting, one of the members of this council said out loud, quote, "Here we go," unquote, and others saw fit to laugh in response. You can listen to that on your recording posted on your website. That is an inappropriate shaming and silencing behavior, all the more so for a member of the council appointed by the governor. While I was speaking at the podium, your legal counsel saw fit to shake her head back and forth to the audience in a manner clearly understood to me while I was speaking. I immediately pointed out that such physical gesturing was inappropriate. That is yet another example of shaming and silencing behavior. Following my comments, your chairman saw fit to conduct a mock courtroom-style examination of Mr. Spinelli in an attempt to elicit statements that denigrate me and my comments, potentially silence future public comments, and which also conflated and parsed our previous communications on an entirely different subject. Your chairman persisted in this mock trial despite Mr. Spinelli initially responding that our previous communications related to, quote, questions about something other than this, close quote. That is, they were unrelated to my comments at your March meeting. More shaming and silencing behavior. I am concerned that these behaviors will dissuade members of the public from bringing matters to the attention of council members during the public comment portion of meetings. I also note that prior to your meeting, public portions of your meetings, while in theory being invited to address the council, the public is advised by your chairman to contact staff employees with questions, noting that, quote, it's not time for a back and forth discussion with the council, close quote. It seems that you would be well advised to heed your own instructions. It is certainly not a time for council members and staff to pass denigrating comments, laugh at members of the public, engage in negative physical gestures, or conduct courtroom-like examinations as if the speaker is on trial. Conspicuously absent from your website are methods of directly contacting members of the Highlands Council, which makes the public comment portion the sole means of providing opinions, observation, and information directly to you council members. Each of these behaviors separately, and worse when taken as a whole, are inappropriate for a council appointed by the governor and its staff.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council at this time? Yes, Mr. Casa.
George Cass, I live in Tewksbury Township. I have a very brief comment to make on the affordable housing RMP amendment. Hallelujah, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, seeing none, we need a motion to adjourn.
I move it.
Moved by Council Member James.
Second.
Second by Council Member Doherty. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Aye. Meeting is adjourned.